White, J.E. White, Emma. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. March 2nd, 1903. Dear children, Edson and Emma, I was pleased to get your letter saying that you would be at the General Conference. I wish that Brother Palmer also could attend, but I do not know whether he would be able to leave his home. Lately, my eyes have troubled me so much that I have been unable to use them without much suffering, so you will have to excuse a short letter. Will you remember me in your prayers? I suffer much with pain in my head and eyes. I have committed my case to the Lord. He can work in my behalf. I am praying to him as my merciful physician, and I believe that he will work for me. White is doing all that he possibly can to prepare for the General Conference. Dr. Willie Jones came in this morning and surprised us. He is at present a patient at the sanitarium here. He has been sick for 3 weeks with a fever at Long Beach, Southern California. He came home about a week ago and will take treatment for a while at the sanitarium. We pray for you in Nashville, and we plead that the Lord will every day work to prepare his people to do honor to their Redeemer. Oh, how many times I think, if we would but seek the Lord with all the heart, and work and walk in faith, what a blessing we should receive. We must not allow ourselves to become so weary that we easily lose our self-control. When we lose self-control, we speak without due reverence or respect for one another. We are Christ's representatives, and our words must be well chosen. They must be words that will bless and encourage those who hear. How many ways there are in which we can cooperate with the Savior by bearing one another's burdens. As we wear Christ's yoke of restraint and obedience, and learn of him his meekness and lowliness, we shall find rest. He says, "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 30. My children, watch unto prayer, and become more and more careful in regard to your words and your deportment. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Mark 14, verse 38. It is poor policy to give the enemy the slightest advantage. My son, be gentlemanly, and you will strengthen your influence over those with whom you work. Never speak unadvisedly. Let your respect for yourself as Christ's representative keep you from giving way to anger. If we respect ourselves by wearing Christ's yoke, we shall increase our influence tenfold. Human nature will continue to be human nature, but it can be elevated and ennobled by union with the divine nature. It is by partaking of the divine nature that men and women escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Truth must be practiced in order to be a power in the world. When truth abides in the heart, the daily experience is a revelation of the controlling power of Christ's grace. Never keep the truth in the outer court. Let the Holy Spirit stamp it on the soul. The Bible is the most precious lesson book that you can study. In studying it, you hold communion with God. If you are an earnest Bible student, you will, when standing before a congregation, speak with power and assurance. Reverence God and his purchased possession. Be careful of your manners, because you are Christ's representative. Guard your words carefully, and labor earnestly for the conviction and conversion of sinners. Keep the heart uplifted to God in prayer. When unkind, untrue words are spoken to you, do not lose control of yourself. Remember that a soft answer turneth away wrath, and that he that rules his spirit is greater than he that taketh a city. Proverbs 15, verse 1, 16, 32. A true Christian is a gentleman. Those who are filled with conceit think it their privilege to say many things that might better be left unsaid. Fewer words and more kind actions would make them a power for good. God declares, "By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Matthew 12, verse 37. All our words and deeds, good or evil, are passing in review before God. How solemn the thought! The Word of God warns us not to provoke one another to wrath. But there is one kind of provoking that is justifiable. Paul writes, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Hebrews 10, verse 23, 24. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5, verse 1. There are those who speak words that to them are a yoke of bondage, but those who walk in the liberty of the Spirit bear witness to their freedom by the choice, profitable words that they speak.
The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, 24-26. Please read to your fellow workers such parts of this letter as you think will be a help to them. I feel deeply in earnest. There is a great work to be done in many places. The Lord will be with you as long as you will be with him. When you are tried, as you will be, do not retaliate. The one who does wrong shall himself suffer for the wrong that he hath done. Do not become discouraged. There is, at the present time, a dearth of means. We must walk and work by faith, not by sight. The Lord will test and prove his people, and he will open ways whereby his truth shall be wonderfully advanced. The charge of Paul to Timothy, I repeat to you: preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. May God bless you and give you strength to walk wisely in safe paths. Your mother.